verse 1 of 1 Samuel 18, it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was mixed with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. A little further down the passage, please. Verse number 16. But all Israel and Judah loved David, because he went out and came in before them. Verse number 20. And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David. The trust that God will bless to us our meditation upon this world this morning. The great battle in the Valley of Elah has just ended, and the people of Israel have been delivered through the bravery, the commitment, the devotion of David, who has gone down into the valley to defeat the giant, a story long known by us all. That David is a picture of Christ in these chapters, there is no doubt. As the account begins of the deliverance of Israel, you could turn back to chapter 16 of 1 Samuel. And Samuel had sent unto Jesse, said unto Jesse, send and fetch your youngest son. And verse 12 of chapter 16 says, and he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and was all of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. When I read that little expression, I think of the Savior in Matthew's Gospel, arise, anoint him. He's the anointed king in Matthew's Gospel, and David is a picture in his anointing to kingship, a picture of the Savior, particularly in Matthew's Gospel. Then when we turn to chapter 17, and the account of the trouble with the Philistines, and the need for the giant to be faced and challenged, verse 32 of chapter 17, David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him, that is, because of the giant. Thy servant will go and fight with the Philistine. When I think of David's self-description, I think of the servant character of the Lord Jesus in Mark's Gospel. And how lovely it is that in complete obedience to the will and the mind of God, the Lord Jesus came to serve. That service was taken to Calvary. We have remembered that this morning. Thy servant will go and fight with the Philistine. A little later, as Saul tries to have David wear his armor, which of course is not only too big for him, but something David hasn't seen. Verse 39 of chapter 17, David girded his sword upon his armor, and he was safe to go, for he had not seen it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with thee, for I have not seen them. And David took them off him. And he took his staff in his hand, gave him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a strip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Goliath had a sword, a shield, and a spear. David, he went with a staff, a strip, and a sling. What a lovely picture of a dependent man. One who wasn't looking to human resources, but one who was utterly dependent upon his God. And when I think of a dependent man, I think very much of the Lord Jesus in Luke's Gospel. It's Luke who is the one who tells us more than any other writer of the prayer life of the Lord Jesus. Wonderful, isn't it? We have thought of him as the Creator, as the Almighty God, and yet he became a truly dependent man. Absolutely dependent upon his God, and it was in dependence upon his God that the dependent man of Luke's Gospel went to the cross. The battle finished, and David returning victorious and carrying with him the head of the giant. And verse 57 of the chapter says, as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, whose son art thou? I think of the lovely description of John of the Lord Jesus in his Gospel. He's occupied with the son. He's occupied with the one who came forth to declare the Father. And yet in declaring the heart of the Father, the Lord Jesus would declare the fullness of a father's love as well. That the Lord Jesus has displayed his love is beyond question. And really that love was displayed in two distinct ways. The love of the Lord Jesus was displayed in obedience to the Father's will, and it was displayed in the giving of himself for us. It was obedience to the Father that took him to the cross. Philippians 3, he was obedient to the extent of death, even the death of the cross. But the scripture has been quoted more than once this morning from Galatians 2, the Son of God loved me. How do we know? He gave himself for me. So love is really demonstrated in these two great ways, obedience and giving. We thought last evening, some of us, of the principle of first mention in Scripture, and in Genesis 22, love is first spoken about, the love of a father for his son. How did Abraham demonstrate that love? He demonstrated it in obedience to God's will and in the giving of his son. So obedience and giving are both demonstrated in the first mention of love. And the Lord has shown that in his great love. Now the question comes, the obvious question comes. What about my love? In chapter 18, we read two verses. In the first of which, verse 1, Jonathan loved David as his own soul. Why did Jonathan particularly love David? I think the answer is very easy to find, isn't it? Jonathan loved David because of that battle. If it had not been for the courage, for the dependence, for the work of David down in the Valley of Elah, if it had not been for that, then the Philistines would have overrun the people of Israel. The first thing they would have done when they overrun the people of Israel, they would have slain Saul and all his family. Jonathan, of course, was the son of Saul. Jonathan's own life would have been forfeit the moment the Philistines were victorious. But the Philistines were not victorious. David was victorious. And because of David and his work in the valley, because of the work he accomplished in defeating that undefeatable soul, because of that, Jonathan was. I'm sure that Jonathan loved David principally because of the battle. That's a good start for you and for me, isn't it? We thought a little this morning, perhaps, in our own private meditations and in our collective worship, of the great battle that was fought at Calvary. The soldier going down, not so much into a valley, but going down into death itself. And there in death, defeating that strong man who held us all in the fear of death. We through fear of death, the writer to the Hebrews said, we're all our lifetime subject to battle. We thank God for the man who defeated the strong man, for the man who went down into the valley. And because of the battle, surely, dear friends, because of the battle, we love him. What a battle he fought. And he came out of it victorious. He went into it alone. He came out of it with the people for himself. What a wonderful Savior. Surely, surely we love him because of the battle. But then we read also that all Israel and Judah loved David, verse number 16. All Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. Look at verse number 5. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Verse 14. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Verse 15. When Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely. Verse number 30. Then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass after they went forth that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul. We're left in no doubt as to why all Israel and Judah loved this man. It was because of his behavior. He behaved himself wisely. He behaved himself very wisely. He behaved himself more wisely. He behaved himself wisely in all his ways. You know, it's a wonderful thing that we should love the Lord because of the Bible. But it's not to be wondered at that we should love something. It's really the first reason why every blood-bought saint of God should have a deep, deep love for Christ, because of what he accomplished in the battle. But then, you know, as we know him more and more, so that love should deepen, and that love should broaden. So that my love for the Lord Jesus is not just because of the battle, but it's also because of his behavior. We should each of us have a deep interest in all the world and in all the ways of the Lord Jesus. We profess to love him. And here in the scripture record, in the gospel record particularly, the Spirit of God has given us not one, but four beautiful portraits of the Savior. Should we not be occupied with those? Should we not want to fill our minds and our hearts with the things of himself? Is it not lovely as we read verses that we have read often before that so often the Spirit of God invites us in? Some other facet of the lovely behavior of the Lord Jesus. Whether you see him moving in meekness and compassion, whether you see him in the display of his power, whether you see him in the display of his authority, perhaps in the early chapters of Mark's Gospel, isn't it lovely just to sit and meditate on the word and the ways of the Lord Jesus? And as we do so, shall our love for him will deepen. We will always love him because of the battle. But it's good to learn to love him too because of his behavior. We're beginning to concentrate then not so much on what he has done for us, but on what he did for us. And on what he did for God. Lovely to take the footsteps of the Lord Jesus as the gospel writer is presenting to us. But then I can't suppose it's also that Michael is also of course. Michael, he went over. What do you suppose this young woman left him? Well, it could have been to do with the battle, of course, because had it not been, again, for the work that he had done in the valley, then not only would Jonathan have been slain, but Michael would have been slain as well. Yes, he owed his life to him. And of course, he would have joined with all Israel and Judah in loving David not only because of the battle, and not only because of his behavior. But then the scripture says specifically that Michael loved him. I think that dear woman loved him simply because of the beauty that she saw in him. She gazed upon a man who, to a woman's heart, was beautiful in every way. And so the love of this particular woman deepened. She would have loved him, yes, because of the battle. And yes, because of his behavior. But she saw a beauty in him that made her love him more. You see, beloved saints of God, as we consider the Lord Jesus, and as we spend time reading about him, thinking about him, meditating upon him, the Spirit of God himself will give us a deeper appreciation and deeper love for Christ. You cannot read more about him. You cannot study the words and the ways of the Lord Jesus and not have a deeper love for him. Because all love is from God. And if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. What prayer would God delight to answer more than the prayer of one of his redeemed people, when in simplicity we bow before him? It's just something of our appreciation that we have so far as the Lord Jesus, and if we ask the Father to give us a deeper love of his son, do you suppose that the Father will not bear that? Do you suppose that the Father would not respond to that? He longs for us to love him more. If only we would spend more time with him. If only we would spend more time thinking of him, reading of him, our love would be so. It was perfectly fitting, perfectly right, that we should give expression to our love for Christ this morning in thinking about all that he had done for us in that great battle. But you know, then there's something more for the heart of the Father. If, as we grow spiritually, we can begin to speak to the Father not only of what the Lord Jesus did for us, but of what he did for others, and of what he meant to the heart of God when he was here in the days of his death. It's good when we can look at the battle scene at Calvary and see not only what the Lord Jesus wrought for us now, but it should have reason to exercise his every work to God by his God. And the more we spend time with him, the more we will find within our hearts to present to the traveling effort. It will not just simply be about what the Saviour has done for us, but we'll learn to speak to the Father about what the Son means to him. Until, as we continue in meditation, and as we make it part of our life to spend time in meditation upon the Lord, God willing, we will become like Michael. Not only love him because of the battle, not only love him because of his behavior, but love him for the beauty that we will see in him. Some would say to Michael, perhaps, what do you particularly see in him? I suppose her language might well be like the language of another woman with a heart full of love. This man in the sky. What is my beloved more than another man? And I see he's altogether lovely. He's altogether lovely. It's not something that can even be put into words. But there's just a deep love that comes out of an appreciation of the beauty of the object of love. And so we could be seeking from the Father a deeper love for Christ. How would that love be displayed? Very simple. In obedience and in giving. In obedience, because the Lord Jesus said, didn't he, in John 14, verse 15, the Lord Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's very simple, isn't it? Not always simple to put into practice, maybe, but it's very simple to understand. Here is a test of my love for Christ. Not what I say, but what I do. If I am aware of some demand of Scripture upon my life, and for one reason or another I'm not prepared to implement it, then it puts a question mark upon the reality of my love for Christ. It's very simple. If you love me, keep my commandments. His own mother said, didn't she, in John chapter 2, whatsoever he says unto you, do it. It's a very real, very simple, infallible fact of the reality of my life. But not only that, the Lord Jesus said, I think we find it's about verse 23 of John 14. The Lord Jesus said, if a man loves me, he will keep my commandments. So he will keep my word. Verse 15, if a man loves me, if you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 23, if a man loves me, he will keep my word. You see, to keep the commandments of the Lord is really the bottom line of time. There's no excuse not to do anything other than that. But that's not beaten for the Lord. The idea of just doing the minimum, just keeping his commandments, that won't be enough for the heart that truly loves the Savior. They want to keep his word. What's the difference? Well, again, we could go back to the life of David. David was anointed king, and there were those who acknowledged his kingship and followed him. And if David gave a command, they followed it. They did it. He was king. But you remember in 2 Samuel chapter 22, and David was in the hold, and David was at the cave of Adullam. There was a time when David inwardly sighed, and he said, oh, that someone would give me to drink of the water of the valley of Bethlehem, and he sighed again. And immediately there were three mighty men, and the names are recorded there in Scripture. And those mighty men, they fought through the lines of the Philistines to get to Bethlehem. And they got water from the well. And they fought back through the lines of the Philistines to bring that water to David. And when they presented the water to David, David then solemnly poured the water out upon the ground. As a young boy, just like you children here, I used to sit in the morning meeting like this. I had a Bible with pictures in it. And one of the pictures was of David pouring out the water of the well of Bethlehem. And as a boy, I used to look at this and think, there was there in the background, there were these three mighty men, and they were rusty, and they were tired, and they risked their lives, they risked everything to bring this water, and as David just pouring it out on the ground. And I thought, what an ungrateful man. Of course, as a young boy, I didn't know anything wrong about the drink offering. I didn't realize that David counted himself unworthy to partake of water for which men had hazarded their lives, and rather than drink it himself, he poured it out to save him. But the point of it is this, dear sister. David Joseph didn't give them a command to do that. Those men were close enough to the heart of the man they loved, that when he simply cried, when he simply expressed a desire, for them, the desire was instead of the command. And they were prepared to risk their very lives simply because there was a way in which they could please him. Wouldn't it be wonderful if my love for Christ so touched my life that I would not be content with just having some honor, but that I would be looking for ways to please the one who loved me unto death, and to be seeking ways in which I can honor him and please him and glorify him? This would be a test of my life, wouldn't it? How sad that sometimes the things that would please him most, the fellowship of one believer to another, the gatherings of the Lord's people, the simple display that we are one in Christ, sometimes we're quite prepared to let these things go by just because of what we think are higher priorities in our lives. We're delighted this morning to think of the love of Christ for us. But we need to think about our love for him. We love him because of the battles, yes. We should love him because of his behavior. We should love him for his beauty. And that love will be expressed not only in obedience, not only in obedience to his command, that's the bottom line, but in it will be expressed also in that we will want to give ourselves in totality. Whatever is mine, whatever I have, whatever I am, the whole passage that makes me, me, he takes it for his own glory. The only conclusion I can come to in the face of love like this, love so amazing, so divine, so high, my soul, my life.